When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This week's This Life with Dr. Bob Forrest is courtesy of Bergamot Sport, an all-natural athletic performance-enhancing and muscle recovery supplement with the usual multiple cardiovascular benefits associated with the polyphenols in the Bergamot products. Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and you are listening to This Life
with Bob Forrest
and Dr. Drew.
Here we are.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gather around your iPhone and listen. It's time for another episode of Dr. Drew and Bob's This Life.
And we are privileged to have our friend Rob Schneider back and his beautiful wife, Patricia.
I've been waiting
here
a week to down to your husband.
Oh, yeah.
He is the one man who said Trump's going to win for sure.
He didn't pull his punch on that. He's like, you don't understand. You guys don't understand?
I went home that day thinking Trump is going to win. He's very convincing, right?
And then Rob texted me like hours after he won. You were like, huh?
Well, I mean, I was out there in the Netherlands because, I mean, it's true. I mean, California and New York is not America. I mean, it is, but it isn't. It's like the difference between, it's true. It's like there's like being in San Francisco and crossing the bridge and going into Hayward.
You know, yeah.
When you leave 45 minutes outside any major city, major cities have a huge – you have to be democratic. It's just like going back historically in North Africa when you had like – which actually the Islamic governments in North Africa, I'm talking about 1,000 years ago, they had an influx of people. And all those influx, you have to become liberal. You have to become moderate because it's better for business. It's better for everything.
People get along.
Yeah, they have to get along. And then you find out you have influx and all of a sudden you get these new different spices and then you get, you know, it's more interesting and an influx of trading and it just causes.
And you see the value in it.
So hold on. We're going
down liberalization.
We're going down a political rabbit hole. Before we go down the I want to. Excuse me, Bob, for a second.
Yes.
I want to gush about these guys' show.
I know. I watched it laying in the bathtub the other night.
So I had watched it. I had watched it before. And I told you I was a little distracted by last time because I was like, oh, they overcasted the wife. I was sort of distracted. I'm like, oh, God, who's the casting director? Oh, my God, his wife casted that woman as his wife? And then I'm looking at the cast. I'm like, oh, I'm such an asshole. So before we've ever met, and we've met since. So this time we went back. My whole family binge-watched several episodes.
Oh, thank you.
And I want to tell you, Rob, seriously, there is so much about that show that is so good. We got to figure out how to get like everybody watching it. And I've got an idea.
Please.
Let me just say it. The music is fantastic.
Thank you.
Did you like the music?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Editing, did you do that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The editing was great. Direction was great.
Thank you.
I love the way the color choice. You said last time that was her.
Patricia is really on.
But the camera angles and stuff and the way it all hung together, I thought, oh, my God, it's tight.
Thank you.
So really well done. And it's funny. And I use the yardstick I use these days is sort of Louie. I sort of like all the stuff he does.
He's brilliant.
You're in the zone.
Well, thank you. You're in that category.
This next season. How are we going to get everybody to watch this thing?
Well,
you know what I thought? I thought we should pit – Sofia Vergara has become such a thing.
Yeah.
Pitched her. Is it about – it's about her.
I did call it's my about. Friend Ron Perlman, who still owns Revlon. And I actually introduced Patricia. Patricia's got this wonderful thing because she doesn't care about meeting anybody or like celebrities. I remember she met this famous actress and she just was interested. About 2 seconds and then talk to like the caterer.
She's got two kids now. She's busy.
Yeah. And also, I mean, truthfully, I have this thing. Like I go crazy for people that probably I shouldn't go crazy.
Like who?
Like, you know, for instance, my birthday, that happened 2 years ago. Remember?
Yeah,
then
yeah.
You surprised me.
With
these guys, their name are the Christoph Christoph Brothers that nobody knows, and I was so excited about that because they were just.
But in a way, that's the way the world is now. Everything's so fragmented that you become a fan of some little thing.
I, and
that's
I'm very saw them on America's Got Talent. These are guys who balance each other's heads.
Oh. Yeah,
they're sitting each other's heads. Yeah. Right, I've seen them.
So they're on the Clippers halftime show too.
Yeah, and she's more impressed with that than she is.
I was so impressed, and that's the kind of people that I'm really excited about.
But I am telling you, because your part sort of goes without saying, and I love the way you make fun of yourself on it. It's so spot on. I know she likes it too. I can tell. But you should be pitching this. Oh, it's about the news. Sophia Vergara. That's what this show's about.
That's what we need to do.
Yeah, and I think people would sort of be intrigued by that.
It's reverse I Love Lucy.
Yeah, there you go.
Except and Lucy's
you're Lucy
complete. Yeah. Megalomaniacal narcissism. And I'm Lucy, right? Yeah, exactly.
Who is the assistant? Jesse, is that his name?
Jamie. He's a lovely guy. He wrote this next season's ridiculous. Yeah. We have a bear attack. We have a cat. He gets attacked by a cat.
Jamie does.
And then Patricia though has a great comic mind. She worked on this show called Guerras de Chistes, which is War of the Jokes. And she's literally for a couple of years she did this. So she just heard jokes after jokes after jokes. It's like, how long is that show?
It was 1 hour.
Of just jokes.
Just jokes.
So she heard every joke.
Where was it at? Where was it?
That's in Mexico. I think the show is still going. But yeah. I assure you, like if you tell me one joke, I know
the punchline.
I know it.
Yeah,
like, you know I know going. Every joke in the world.
Yeah.
Like for instance, there's a joke like Chi-Chi. I think it's like Chi-Chi. She knows it as Bunga Bunga. The punchline. Basically, it's like there's this explorer in South America. And he gets there's three explorers that get captured by the natives. And the natives say, okay, you got the choice. They take him up to the king. You got a choice name, death or Chi-Chi. You know the joke? No. They say, okay, I guess we'll take Chi-Chi. Okay, Chi-Chi. So all the natives rip off his clothes and they all, you know, have their way with him and abuse him sexually. And then they hang him from a tree dead. They say, okay, second explorer, you got a choice, death or Chi-Chi. And so he says, I guess Chi-Chi. So they rip off his clothes and they all have sex with him. And then they hang him from a tree until he's dead. They go to the third explorer. Okay, you got a choice, death or Chi-Chi. He says, I guess death. Okay, death. But first, Chi-Chi! And I think Patricia heard that as Bunga Bunga. But first, Bunga Bunga! You know, in Espanol, primero Bunga Bunga! So it's just, there's these jokes that, and then she would tell me jokes from Mexico that I'd never heard before because it's a different cultural thing.
Yeah,
they have a mean sense of humor.
Oh.
One of the funniest things, I mean, when she shows you something, you don't know the people, but you still laugh really hard, that means there's something intrinsically universally funny about it.
Yeah.
Like, there was this really interesting joke that was really broad, really mean, viciously mean, and extremely a great surprise. It's this thing called Faberucci. You never heard of him. You never will, probably. He's a Mexican, they call him an announcer, not an announcer.
He's a host.
They call him a host.
It's like Don Francisco.
Yeah, yeah. We would call him like an announcer.
The guy, the Sabro Gigante?
Yeah, yeah.
And so a real this guy, over the top guy?
He's more into the celebrity, you know, like gossip.
It's like Mario Lopez, basically.
Okay, got it.
But, you know, just, so this guy is, you know, everybody kind of knows he's gay and everything. And so what happened was this guy got beaten by a gay prostitute that he decided to not pay, bad idea, real muscular guy. And this guy, he got beaten within an inch of his life. And just like, that's not the funny part. But
like, thank you.
That happened, and he denied that it was a gay thing.
Well, he's not openly gay.
He's not openly gay, which is fine.
So, yeah.
Whatever. And
it's so machismo in Mexico, right?
Exactly,
it's an issue,
I mean, I don't know if he really is gay. So I'm assuming.
At the same time, there was this promotion.
He was with a gay prostitute.
I know. Yeah. Who knows?
Maybe. Means he's gay.
He had a few cocktails.
You think so?
Maybe they were having a nice cultural shift. <She's> like, really?
they were having a nice conversation. And they
had coffee. One thing led to another. He beat the crap out of him. but anyway, so there was this commercial about the same time there was this promotion, which is a very good promotion about like when you hit one of us, you hit all of us. And it was all these women, and it was these famous women, and you'd see them slowly turn in this commercial. And they would see one of them was a famous author. One was was a woman politician. One was a famous, singer.
Yeah, like all the important, women.
Yeah.
From the society.
Yeah.
And then somebody edited on YouTube. At the end of it, they had Faberucci come in at the end. And it was just, to me, it was just like screamingly funny. Just, it's a horrible thing, but at the same time.
You couldn't do that here.
You couldn't do that in America. You get crucified.
No, right? You couldn't do that now, for sure.
Yeah, probably.
But I'm saying on YouTube, things that you just get out there. But I said before, I think it's important.
This is my son Jordan. I made him watch your show the other night. He loved it.
Oh, thank you. Great to see you. All right, thank you. So we basically, well, I do agree with John Cleese. He says that, like, you know, about political correctness. He said it's not right. They said that the people most sensitive should not be the ones deciding what everybody else gets to watch, listen, and decide what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And that's really true. I think there's a political correctness about
it. So where do you – and by the way, the Real Rob Show is on Netflix. Go get it. Can you get anywhere
else besides
Netflix?
The reason I'm watching the bathtub is because we have a smart TV in the bathroom to watch while we're on TV. It's a one Wi-Fi TV. So that's where I watch your guys' show.
That's relaxing.
I'm taking a bath.
When are new episodes starting?
We're going to probably June.
And you put the whole
we're
thing up at
now.
Once?
We're shooting it again. Yeah, it all goes up. Basically, we spent about a year and a half to 2 years on it, and then people watch it in in 3 days.
Yeah, I can see why. It's good. And the scenes, I'm just curious about this. Lots of footage from Los Angeles you guys took.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all interesting choices there, too.
I wanted to show the freneticism and the stress of the L.A.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just like it's so fast, and it's so many people in your face, and it's traffic. And then at the same time, it's like, and then you're back in your house.
Right.
There is some psychic damage from that.
And then you have to make the decision what you forgot to go do, and you have to go back out into it for 5 minutes.
Well, that's the first time you moved to L.A.
See, but what I like is that usually with the way that's portrayed at television or film is the freeway. And you've made some iconic choices of what intersections you're showing and stuff, which are the ones we're all dealing with every day.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, everybody can see the freeway stuff, but I wanted to show like the traffic like on Ventura.
Yeah, right.
Making a left turn.
That's really in your way. Because you think you're off the freeway, you're safe, but you're not.
No, you're now these days it's the worst.
Now you're stuck. Because everybody's going, I'll just take Ventura for a little bit, and that'll be fine.
Do you guys live in the Valley?
We're way out in Calabasas.
Oh, my God. Thank you for coming in today.
Have you ever figured out the 405 Ventura Boulevard 101, the shortcuts around there? Because you'll end up on a dead-end street.
None of them work.
They don't work.
You don't even know. You'll end up in a miniature golf parking lot.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Waze helps a little bit.
Well, Waze is torturing me because my street is a shortcut getting around the Franklin traffic, right, by the 101. And so people go flying past my house where it's a little tiny windy road, and I always scream at them, Waves, motherfuckers. It's true because you can tell them they're driving like they're not neighborhood people.
And they're groups too, like 12.
Trying to get around the traffic.
But. So Rob opened the door a little bit to politics here with some of your last comments.
So I came here. I got a show this afternoon, but I came here to talk about, to bow down to your husband and to say, what comes next, Nostradamus?
Well, that was the first thing he walked in and said, I want to know what he's got next to predict.
Does he get impeached by Republicans?
Well, I tell you what. I mean, I wanted to look up before I came here what the number of Republicans required with the Democrats to be enough. I don't know if it's 2/3 or if it's just 60 or 51, but I know that the impeachment of the last impeached.
Clinton.
The impeachment technically is the process.
The process. Yeah. The one who was successfully impeached. Johnson.
Yeah. 1860, whatever.
After Lincoln. Because Johnson was actually trying to put in some of what Lincoln wanted.
Right, moderate stuff in the South to rebuild it.
He didn't want to punish the South forever for restitutions for the war. And so that's one that it got with one vote. I think that, he's going to... You know, he has not tempered his views at all. I'm surprised by that.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be
different.
I
thought he's like, okay, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm really a Democrat.
that's what I thought, too.
But I think...
But maybe there may be a weird... I think he goes through life using game theory. Everything is a negotiation. Everything he starts with extreme on everything, and you really don't know where he's trying to go because it's always couched in a lot of extreme rhetoric.
But I think he's being successfully used by different groups, like
Bannon, you know, for sure.
Well, being like and willingly wanting to be used. Like for instance, like he just tell when he was doing those prayer meetings. He'd never prayed before in his life. He's looking up, you know, and somebody wants to hold his hand. He's like, well, how do I do that? You know, is it over or under? You know? So I think he's – but at the same time, you know, it's definitely – I think there's some –
it's interesting.
Well, it's interesting,
all
but it's also –
come down to jobs, and there are no jobs to have.
Well, I will tell you this. I mean, I will say that there's not going to be – it's not 100% negative. And I will say, like, you know, the Democrats, for all the women that were brave enough and, like, got together and, like, came march the other day, that's a good positive thing.
Yeah.
Get involved in the political process. Yeah. They got involved a little late.
Yeah.
But for instance, spending, and I don't mean to in any way to denigrate the problems of transgender people at all. That's very difficult thing to do. But like, it's a small amount of people. God bless them. A small amount of people. But worrying about like the bathrooms issue is not a real issue.
Yeah. When millions of people are out of work.
When millions of people are out of work in the Rust Belt, and like the problems that we have, respectfully, in Los Angeles, in New York, a lot of them are real quality problems.
But you're a smart, smart man, and you know. If those factories come back, right, there's not going to be any people working in them. Not the tens of thousands that used to 40 years ago. There's going to be like 1,100 engineers working
in
them.
Well, there's
so he lied about that.
Well, but those 1,100 – but you have to understand, though, 1,100 jobs in a small town is a huge –
But there's no engineers in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Well, but the fact of the matter is, I mean, look
– But they're going to
come from Mexico. They're going to come from Mexico and Pakistan
Patty had an interesting take on this, yes?
Yeah.
What's your take?
Well, I'm definitely not happy with the kind of person that he seems to be. You know, my real issue with Donald Trump is not.
You don't like his personhood.
Yes, exactly.
But I was thinking about this. Somebody
really
was
bothers
there,
me about
a bunch
that's
of stuff.
When Drew jumped off the ship. We're sitting in the kitchen here, and he goes over the videotape. He said, "I'm out. This is ridiculous."
Well, it's indefensible.
You know what I mean? And Drew's about the most open-minded guy in the world.
I'm super
He's like,
moderate.
I'm out.
Rob, I think you're kind of getting like me, where you hate everybody. Like I hate them all. I'm sick of everybody.
Yeah.
Are all hatreds equal?
But I'm super moderate as well, so I'm giving everybody a chance because I'm super moderate.
Yeah.
But there's some stuff going on about in Facebook who he's a narcissist, malignant narcissist, all that kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. I thought, we've had malignant narcissists in the White House. Well, the last one was Theodore Roosevelt. He's a malignant narcissist. You can tell malignant narcissist because the kids all are messed up and flee, and you know he'd killed himself and stuff. So Teddy Roosevelt was so malignant narcissists have done. Okay, White House
they
historically.
Could. It depends on like what I was. I mean, honestly, what
wasn't
I was,
he one of the richest presidents, and he went after big business.
Yeah,
that was a strange.
Well, there's
contradiction.
He also, you know, he was involved in the takeover of the Philippines, and there was an ugly. There's a.
Oh, he's a
Dajo was like a massacre in the Philippines. That was like it was horrible.
But no, he was a maniac. But Teddy
Roosevelt
was a maniac.
At the same time,
one of my favorite presidents.
Why was he? Why did he try to break up the monopolies? Why was he?
Because it was popular, frankly.
Well, there was a union movement about that time. First of all, there was what happened. The beginning of unionization in America was when there was a massacre in for coal workers. And that's what turned the tide. And it's when you have like Carnegie Mellon and you had like the Rockefellers started their own foundations. That was the beginning of this public relations thing in America because the people had turned and the newspapers had turned against these people because they realized they were just hiring police, Pinkertons, the original police, to kill people.
Protesters.
They were just, you know, men, women,
and
children
protesting.
It got protesting.
Ridiculous.
You couldn't live.
Theodore
people
Roosevelt.
Couldn't make a living. And so, you know, the tide had turned. And he was one of the guys who recognized that the tide had turned.
And he, even though he was sort of yelling at his peers, he really was telling them to be responsible. And he thought he had a long – his story is long and storied. You know, he was the commissioner of police in New York City and used to walk around. He was manic as hell. He used to walk around at night and beat people up by himself.
But at the same time, he did have a come around. I mean, Teddy Roosevelt did have an idea of like an appreciation of nature. You know, so he could go and kill things in it. But at the same time,
he was a naturalist of the time of the
yes,
era.
Yes, I mean he was ahead of his time, but still a man of
super
his
smart,
time.
Super smart.
So how does this apply to Trump?
I'm just saying.
I'm hopeful. Here's what I'm hopeful for.
The narcissist part, probably.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I'm hopeful that listen, there is a side to megalomaniacal to a being a megalomaniacal narcissist that I was hoping would work in our favor. I was hoping he'd want to be a beloved president, not just a president to like. It can be such an arch conservative.
To be fair, I don't think he's a malignant narcissist. Malignant narcissists don't raise healthy children, and their children do not want to be around them.
His kids want to be around him. It's yeah. So you can still be a narcissist, but not a malignant mm-hmm. narcissist. No, no.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be a narcissist to be president. You have to be. Oh,
you have sure to be, yeah. But yeah. at the same
but
time.
But I think there are levels, you know. Like, that's what it really bothers me about him, that I truly believe, like, he's this completely narcissist and who thinks I am the one who's going to fix everything and only me, you know. So everything is about him, and you can tell that he has his meltdowns, you know, at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. is when he's Twitter. Tweeting.
Well,
it's
here's
like,
the
dude,
difference. Yes.
Get some sleep.
I know.
Do
well,
you
here's
have a
what
country
happens
to take care of?
Now, if you look at this, you can actually kind of read this psychologically.
Yeah.
I mean, he is because the during the Women's March last week, his first tweet was, "Where were you guys? You didn't. You know, the election's over. You guys lost." And then, like 2 hours later, he tweeted, "Hey, it's good that you're
yeah,
being positive."
Yeah, I
so
saw that.
Lincoln used to write these letters. Lincoln used to write when he was mad at McClellan for not advancing into the city that he'd surrounded.
McClellan's Richmond.
Richmond, Virginia.
McClellan spent forever preparing for war, but never going to war.
And he wouldn't. And he just was kept, you know, not advancing. And Lincoln was trying to motivate him to it. And so he was very angry. And at night he would write these letters about it emotionally.
And he would send them.
And he would say at the bottom, not send.
Yeah, not to send.
And so... and then he would write in the morning when he wasn't emotional, when he was trying to figure out what he wanted to accomplish, then he would write a letter telling,
Trump sending both letters out.
He's sending both letters out. Yeah,
exactly.
Twitter's too easy. And how do the Mexicans see this? Do you know? Is there a sense from home?
Well, you know, I think, like, right now...
Do they like
their
president? Their president has a PR problem, right?
He's got low.
But now
he has a chance
now,
right?
Now I think it's his chance because he decided to not come to the meeting because... He said that that Mexicans were not paying for the wall.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, honoring that.
Well, there was never going to be a check that the Mexicans wrote. There's
exactly.
just going to be a tariff.
But he did suggest if Canada wants to build one, he might pitch in.
But, I mean, I think, like, now this is a good opportunity for Mexico, to be honest, to get united as a country and to see what we're going to do with our economy.
Well, let's
and
think about global politics. True. What I think is going to happen is Chinese are going to come meeting with the Mexican
exactly.
government.
That's exactly.
And then you've got a pact that is the entire labor force of the world.
We have this.
You know what I mean?
We have this billionaire in Mexico. His name is Carlos Slim. And he just had a press conference that I'm dying to watch. Yeah, because I haven't seen it. But I read a little bit of it. And basically, that's what he was saying. He
said, the Chinese in.
Let's
align
look at
the
Chinese and let's see what we can do with them.
Carlos
and
is
also he
Larry
said,
King's big friend.
And he's saying, don't fear Trump. Oh. Because that's one of the things that Mexicans, I think, we're fearing. What is like how is this guy going to affect
but
my
it's
life?
It's different. I mean, let me just say, so, it's different in Europe a little bit, and different in the northern hemispheres, when the countries are rich countries, as opposed to a country that's already a third to a half in Mexico is in poverty. You're
well,
talking
that's
about
how Trump just described America, and that's what I was in disbelief.
Well, let me just tell you,
and it's just like no, well, go to Mexico,
but okay,
you'll
but Mexico,
see poverty.
Mm-hmm.
You go
you're
to the Rust Belt, you don't see that kind of poverty.
No,
it's
but
ridiculous.
you're also dealing with people who know how to survive, and you know, in Mexico, it's like they're hardworking, really good people, and they don't need this. I mean, their economy since September has the peso has devaluated 20%.
I like the way Patricia's looking at this. It's like let's unify and get our economy together, not worry about.
Imagine
what
Mexico. Yeah. Patricia said like this. That. Imagine if Mexico decides to not drink any more Coca-Cola or Pepsi.
Yeah. Yeah.
What if they say no more? Yeah. We're not going to drive American cars anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, what if what
happens?
Well,
that's kind of what the shakedown's going to be as this all plays out. So,
yeah,
so Nostradamus, what else going to happen?
Oh gosh!
But he is going to be impeached by Republicans.
I think if he screws up enough, first of all, he's against the establishment. I like for any shakeup where it gets people involved. I mean, let's face it,
unites people.
Well, I mean, it should shake everything up, and that's the positive of this is people who weren't necessarily getting involved.
Yeah.
You need to get involved. Like in Australia, if you don't vote, you have to pay like a $60 parking ticket.
Yeah, they're forced to vote.
We should do that here. I mean, I think you have to like whether people – I think 13% approval rating on the last election for Congress. And yet over 90%
are reelected.
So if people really want to get involved, they need to get involved. But
are you like me? Like, am I right? You sort of hate everybody now. You're sick of both sides different reasons, but just sick
yes,
of both sides.
Yes, I think they're both not – becoming
they,
part
they both
of the
become bureaucracies. They become they're no longer right and left even. They're just Democrats and Republicans. These gigantic bureaucracies that serve their own needs.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I think it's like 70% of all the legislation that goes through goes to helping just the top 15-20% of the earners for all legislation. Mm-hmm. So it's not really helping people. And then, you know, Obama, I don't think was – I think you had blatant obstructionism, and you had with definitely more than a tinge of racism behind the
Republican obstructionism. It is interesting, though, to see a businessman get in there and start, like, doing things the way the rest of us work, you know, busting little balls. You know,
it's scary, almost, making phone calls to Carrier and other places, even if it's 1,000 jobs, you can bully whip people into doing what you want. I mean, he is the most powerful man in the world right now. Yeah. I mean, the thing about that, what I would just say is this, is you have the Democrats that built this and allowed these executive orders.
Powers.
And the executive powers were never supposed to be – they were supposed to be emergency executive
powers. Not one to somebody else's hands.
They were never supposed to be one person deciding. Yeah. But when Obama was able to decide, whenever one person is able to decide who lives or dies, literally by drone attacks – that has to stop. Congress has to get in. People have to decide. We need to have a committee that can make this decision. And Congress needs to be the ones doing War Powers Act. And it shouldn't be just President Obama and the Secretary Clinton making decisions to bomb Libya or Syria and other places. And now you see the disaster that came from. So now the Democrats are going to have to deal with the fact that they expanded those presidential powers, and now they got somebody in that they don't like. So you can't just have those powers, use them from when you want, and then just say, hey, I don't like those anymore. So I think there has to be – the Democrats and the Republicans are equal abusers.
Yeah.
And so I will say this. Now you have the face of American foreign policy to match American foreign policy. you don't have a good looking well, you don't have a good looking, eloquent, handsome man in a slim fitting Paul Smith suit.
Yeah.
With a wife that he's in love with, and they're going, hey, we're still blowing up the world. Now you got somebody who looks like the face of American foreign policy. So I will say maybe people can get involved. I think it's a positive thing. I just hope that,
What about the PC stuff? Don't you think it's time we allowed people to speak their mind?
Well, I think,
bit?
Like, you know, what you, it's like, it's in the ruse, it's in of tolerance being completely intolerant.
Yeah, it's actually limiting speech. It's actually crushing free speech.
It does, and when you eliminate words, you're not eliminating the problem. You're just suppressing it further.
It's so weird. I know whoever thought the Democrats would be the party of no free speech.
The Democrats are the party of intolerance at this moment.
Yeah,
you know, and if you think about it, even the fundamentalists, Republicans and the absolute liberals, they're both back to back doing the same thing.
Yeah,
just facing the wrong, facing the other direction. So, but what is going to? Where is it going to lead to? I think it's like, you know, whom
what
social
about
the media
showdowns with the mayors. So Garcetti's begging Trump to defund the port security over the sanctuary city thing. Mayor of Boston, did you see his press conference? It was unbelievable. He said, "We will use City Hall to shelter Bostonians." Right,
but hang on a second. Wait, hold on a second.
So there's going to be a showdown between mayors and the federal government.
Hold on, that was not about illegal citizens. That was about undocumented citizens who commit felonies.
Yeah, I mean, I have
so
to.
So you're
at a certain
protecting
point,
felons, active felons.
You have to look at this. These are all human beings. But for instance, no other country in the world would allow criminals or someone who's been a convicted criminal for a violent offense to stay in their country.
Other country. That's all this is about. So that's not about undocumented immigrants, felons.
But here's the deal. The difference is a normal, rational thinking president would say we're going to be compassionate to all people, but we need to protect our borders. But he doesn't say that. He just says it's America first. We're going to kick everybody out. Mm-hmm. So it creates fear, and anytime you use fear, it's
because also are we sure that they're really looking for felonies or are they going to be including like parking tickets and stuff like that?
Just felons.
Not true.
That's the law. I'm sorry.
That's the law that he's enforcing. But then that's a slippery slope to allowing the immigration department, to go into the county jails and just search through everything.
How?
Because
where do they get the right to
because
do that?
Who's going to go into the jails?
Nobody jails. Current felons. As you come to court.
No, the way it's going. No, it's in the jails.
But you have to understand though, the law as it is, and it was it was literally under Clinton that this law passed in 1996. that said that anybody convicted of a felony that is
I'm talking about the sanctuary city's executive order.
But the sanctuary city is going after, it's for not enforcing that law.
Not enforcing the law that's been in place since 1996. It's weird. It's just so weird.
You have to be careful that we're not abusing, like, that they have to, like, you can't attack Trump over something that Clinton put in.
Right. This thing that you start believing the press, and it's like you got to really everything is so
let's
crazy,
go to fake news.
Hysterical.
You want to talk about fake news? I mean, like, everybody in fake news saying that Clinton was going to win. Okay, obviously that was fake news, or that was some sort of not completely truthful. They're steering it in that direction, and it's the same thing now. So I'm saying, though, you have to be really careful, because if the liberals attacking him on this Russian dossier thing, where he was, you know, getting peed on by, like, prostitutes in Russia, it's so out there, and there was absolutely. But for CNN to kind of bolster it and allow another place like BuzzFeed what that's going to do is, when something really does happen,
people aren't going
to
believe it.
They're going to go, "Wow, it's the same stuff as before." Yeah, so we have to have some standard, and so every little thing that they're running with, we have to have the press has to be an upstanding fourth estate that we can rely on.
Yeah,
that's not being used for political ends
or commercial ends. Really, a lot of it is commercial ends.
Yeah, and part of it, like what's happening with what I think with the I don't want to get into the specifics. I'm sure you talked about it. The pharmaceutical industry, 70% during a non-political season, 70% of all advertising on TV is pharmaceutical drugs. So they got a huge impact. And so I think, like, you know, they have a right to make money, but you can't just allow them to just take over the airwaves. See, I remember like 30 years ago, you weren't allowed to advertise drugs.
Of course.
How about the fact that they spend $3 billion lobbying Congress?
Oh, yeah.
$3 billion.
Hey, listen, we've got Dr. Raymond Francis coming up after the break. Okay. This is Rob recommended.
Now we're going to get on to sugar.
We're going to get on to sugar.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. Like, Raymond, like, when you go out to eat with Raymond, Raymond Francis from BeyondHealth.com, he will, like, he scares you. And, like, and that's what Patricia's like. I remember, like, I don't want, you know, because he just, anything.
I hope you dig deep into that in the season two of all the GMO stuff.
Oh, we have some fun stuff.
It's very funny.
What are some of the stuff we're doing in season two?
Well, you know, he starts talking to me about the you know, the bacteria that lives in your hands and is good for you, you know, and because I give him this hand sanitizer, or we talk about chemicals, and at some point,
yeah, because what happens is we have to spray in our neighborhood. Everybody sprays for spiders.
Is there anybody in Mexico City or Mexico anywhere like Rob who worries about all this stuff?
Oh no, I've never met anyone.
Never,
anywhere,
right? Nobody
in the
anywhere,
world.
Right? So let me get this straight. So everyone in Mexico City must die at 28, right? 28?
No.
No. 35? No. They can't live past 40. Impossible. Not without Rob's input.
So
impossible.
Spiders? Are you saying spiders are good? You need spiders.
He's like, I said, spiders are part of the ecosystem.
Yeah. I knew you were going to say that.
And then so we have this. So I refuse to spray. She said, but all our neighbors spray. That's it. We don't need to spray. We're protected by their bubble. We're inside their bubble.
herd of spider immunity.
So I just grab him. I said, I can't deal with your shed right now.
And then what happens is spiders are all over the house.
Yeah, well, spiders just come to your house.
And then there's me in my infrared sauna with a mask while they're spraying. I got like a breathing apparatus.
I love it.
And then and Patricia
And is
said,
it all based around death? That's what you're so scared, worried about all
but
this
Patricia
stuff?
But Patricia says a great line that she came up with. She's like, you know, there's infrared saunas. She's talking about, we got to really tone down our expenses, you know, like, you know, $2,500 to set up, because we moved into a new place. We're scaling down this next episode.
In the episode, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I said, we got a little eight-bedroom we're scaling down a little eight-bedroom out in Tarzana. And they said, $2,500 for infrared sauna? But infrared sauna,
it's not a priority.
It's not a priority. Well, I think lowering your viral load is a pretty good priority. She said, you only use it two times. Yeah, but both those times could have saved my life last year. You know? And then she said, I think you only use, what's it, Len?
Because you like to, you know, you like to...
You only use... You like
the idea of having an infrared sauna so you can school people about the
infrared sauna. That's right. Like getting everybody else's
So, Rob, when you're by yourself... And,
wait,
and
the producer's freaking out. We got to wrap this up, I guess.
Got to wrap this up. I just got to ask one last question.
I want some hats.
By yourself,
you're by
yourself listening to the radio or TV, and a cancer thing comes on. What happens inside your body space?
I said the idea... The idea that cancer, we can talk to Raymond about it.
We did, we will.
The idea that cancer, if it's able to grow, you're able to shrink it. It just makes he attacks things so logically for a 9-year-old. He
but
says,
I'm saying, do you get anxious and panic and start thinking you're going to get cancer or have cancer?
Yes.
Oh. And he goes and finds his blue light glasses.
that's what the problem is.
It's just but
and
know,
not eating sugar doesn't reinforce your belief that I'm the one person who doesn't have cancer because I don't eat sugar.
Well, I will say, you know, I think. And everything in moderation, but like he does scare you about sugar because that's one thing. That,
vegetable oil too. I'm convinced that's another really important one.
You're right.
Yeah,
you're vegetable oil. He can
sugar.
Explain.
He didn't.
In
he
way.
Not get into it with us, but I will. For the record, I'm going to bring.
Don't donuts have vegetable oil
yeah.
and sugar?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had one this morning.
But listen,
am I going
to? It turns out the tallow that McDonald's used to fry their fries in is way better than the vegetable oil they switched to.
Yeah. No.
Oh,
so
really?
Yeah. Because when you raise vegetable oil to a certain temperature. It's destructive or something.
Yeah, it turns into
it's
a really...
carcinogenic.
Yeah.
But it was politically correct to do, so they did it.
Wow.
Yeah, so... You're going to take him to the psychiatrist now. He's having a panic attack. But no medicine for him.
That's
only transcranial
here.
Magnetic stimulation. So listen, we have to go. Susan's standing over us. We didn't even get to talk about immunization. I can talk to you guys all day. We'll do. I just know that I'm a good student. I'm doing my due diligence.
You did. And you know what I also like about you, you know, is that you're open-minded to things. And I think that we'll do this.
Oh,
I'll just say this. Like what I love about you, and it just you're a wonderful friend and a wonderful person. And what the thing about it is you're open minded to things, and that's the difference between that belief system, where people leaf meaning willfulness, willing the world to Anglo-Saxon word, willing the world to how you think or want it to be, you wish it to be,
Or to your view, making it conform to your view. No, you got to stay open minded.
It's fundamental,
think.
Yeah. As opposed to faith, which just is an openness to the truth, whatever that is.
Speaking of the truth, that one of the things you made fun of last season, the organic food he was feeding the dog and stuff, right? So in reality, that wasn't good enough for his dog. In real life. Did you ever meet Oscar? Oscar?
Who unfortunately
Oscar,
died of diabetes.
I know, Oscar. I know. And Oscar, hold on. Oscar
had to eat. West Coast with those.
Of course, all the bullshit he was eating. Oscar had to eat organic broccoli and stuff. He shit all over this house. Oscar shit in every inch of this house. That was the cutest dog ever. We loved him.
I'm
but
sorry.
I had a dog in Mexico who lived for 18 years, and her
lived
diet
garbage.
Was based
garbage.
On... No, she was eating tortillas.
Tortillas
and chicken and
All right, we're going to wrap this thing up. But Rob, always thank you. Appreciate it. Let's get everyone to watch this show.
We'll talk to the doctor.
Yeah, we'll talk to her. You want to have a vitamin talk?
Yeah, we'll do a little bit.
Okay, hold on. We'll bring that back after Dr. Francis. How about that? All right, that's that. You know, I'm always happy to talk to you about our friends at Bergamot. They're the makers of a variety of supplements that use the extract from the bergamot citrus fruit, those polyphenols. That fruit is in Italy. These supplements act as a natural statin that may improve a number of cardiovascular conditions, as well as symptoms of the metabolic syndrome, which includes high blood pressure, high cholesterol, high blood sugar. As you know, I've been excited about the natural treatment since I first heard about it. I'm getting behind it. Science behind it is sound, and physicians throughout the world and cardiologists are actually using it. Now, the makers that brought you the formulation Bergamet NA, Bergamet Pro Plus, now bringing you Bergamet Sport. It provides all the same cardiovascular benefits, but has additional additives designed to aid athletes and those with a very, very active lifestyle. Bergamet Sport may help improve stamina and reduce recovery time and reduce muscle inflammation. Now, I've been taking Bergamet myself, and I suggest you talk to your physician to see if Bergamet Sport is right for you. And for a limited time, our listeners can save 10% on their order by entering the code Dr. Drew, D-R-D-R-E-W, at checkout. Again, that is D-R-D-R-E-W, all one word, at checkout, and you save 10% on your order of Bergamet. To order the Bergamet Sport for yourself, visit bergamet.com, Bergamet N-A, Bergamet, B-E-R-G-A-M-E-T.com, or click on the Bergamet banner on drdrew.com. You know, we had Rob Schneider by before the break, and he has been singing the praises of Dr. Raymond Francis for some time to me, and now we finally have the chance to talk to Dr. Raymond Francis, let's get into it. Dr. Francis, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. It's my pleasure.
Now, you know, I you have a chemistry background, so you know, one of the things I always get into conversations about, there's so many ideas out there, and chemistry is so complicated and so intense and so difficult to predict that when you extrapolate up to the level of physiology, then it gets almost infinitely complex, and it's hard to predict things. And so as a result, there's lots of ideas flying around. Where should we start our conversation today?
Well, I think one of the messages that I try to get across to people is that we have an epidemic of chronic disease. This epidemic is decreasing our quality of life, and very importantly, it's threatening to bankrupt the United States of America. And we have to do something about this because the path we're on is economically unsustainable. So we have a need to lower the cost of disease, and the best way to do that is to lower the incidence of disease.
Well, let's just take one chronic disease that's in the press so much, diabetes. And obesity. But getting people to change their diet has been proven to be impossible. So what do we do with, say, that? And obviously, our behaviors have a lot to do with many of the chronic diseases.
Well, and wasn't it the nutritionist that we had here, Adam's friend, right?
Yeah.
He said an interesting thing, and it made my wheels turn. If you stop subsidizing grain, right, which is supposedly what leads to the obesity epidemic.
Some of it.
Right? Mm-hmm. So raise that so that it's not in every food and in everything.
Right.
Would that be at a more core way?
That would help. But what do you say, Francis?
It would help, but we subsidize sugar as well.
Yep, that's right.
So they're the two things that cause most obesity is grains and sugar.
So you agree that it's the farm subsidies that create this cheap thing that they can fill all food with. That's a prior show that we had with a nutritionist.
But Bob, there's more going on here, though, that you and I would know. That what is the number one reason that people are overeating that we see?
Emotions.
Trauma, right.
Yeah.
Trauma. So we have a trauma epidemic, too. So that's why we can't get these people to change, right? And on top of that...
Also, you have the problem of addiction. Sugar is highly addictive, many times more addictive than cocaine and heroin.
Well, no. Sorry. So we will beg to differ because our patients are dying every day of heroin and cocaine addiction, every day, and we can't stop it. And
it's just a matter of when you're going to shuffle off. The idea, I just learned, I'm not a doctor, I didn't go to MIT, I don't know anything other than what I've learned working in addiction treatment, and that is the axis. What's the most pressing emergency situation here? If somebody's addicted to fentanyl, that's much more life-threatening than addicted to sugar.
Correct.
Right?
Because
we're prioritizing mortality, risk of mortality.
Yes, but there's a problem with this thinking. It is more immediately life-threatening. Unfortunately, the sugar, if you eat sugar, you don't fall over dead. So you say, okay, this tastes good and I don't fall over dead. The problem is that the sugar is one of the major causes of our entire epidemic of chronic disease. So
I think
everything from Alzheimer's
to
osteoporosis to cancer to heart disease, and that's sugar.
Everybody, not being naive, but the average citizen knows that what they eat is not that good for them, and it is a determiner in their mortality, in their health, in their vitality, and in their how they feel.
And they don't
but
change.
Why they do it is because they're so traumatized and anxious, and we are a society
also,
that...
Also, Bob, there's other things. It's expensive to get fresh fruits and vegetables or organically produced
Well,
stuff.
Here's an interesting thing.
And it takes time.
One
no
of my
one
good
time.
Buddies started a company called Fresh and Easy to try to get good food into the inner cities and into what's called food deserts.
Yeah.
Nobody bought it.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Because it's not as yummy, so it doesn't gratify that emotional system.
Yeah, the average person doesn't know. And in fact, the information that they have available to them tells them that what they're doing is okay. Everybody says that, the whole world says what you're doing is okay. Eating sugar is okay. Sugar's in everything. So it's okay to eat it.
And then you become addicted to it from a very young age. There's an interesting thing. Do you know how much sugar is inside like an average pasta sauce bottle that you buy.
Did you see that on Facebook?
12 donuts.
You saw that on Facebook too, or MSNBC.
And that shocked me because I'm thinking I get noodles. Yeah. I pour like Paul Newman
tomato
sauce on it.
I've got vegetable.
And it's actually like blending donuts and putting it on them.
Well, let's stay in the solution. So, Dr. Francis, we're having a very spirited discussion, we're all really agreeing in reality. So
we're in agreeing. But the part of the problem here is that people are not getting the right information. And that's why I write my books. That's why I wrote Never Be Sick Again. And Never Be Sick Again has been an international bestseller. It's gone all over the world. It's been translated into multiple languages, Chinese. It's now being translated into Arabic. Here's a book that has really made an impact. People read this book and they do change. They do change because it's explained to them in very, very simple language what they're doing and the effects that it has on them. I think a lot of what we're looking at here, people are not willing to change because they don't believe that changing will really have an effect.
Can I just add that when somebody dies, my mom died last year, she died from her poor eating habits and smoking.
Well, the smoking
You can't criticize people.
What do you mean? You didn't try to get her to stop
smoking?
You know,
everybody's like, why? I'm like, why so young? She was 68 years old. Why? I'm like, she's smoking and eats like horribly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't, there's no question as to why.
Highly addictive. My father smoked himself to death.
Yeah.
Why is it socially unacceptable to criticize people's smoking habits, eating habits, but it's not socially unacceptable to criticize their drug use? That's an interesting thing to me.
I think we live in a time when people are quite judgmental of cigarette users.
We live in California, but I don't think in Missouri they're too critical of it.
But we use carcinogens. You know, alcohol is a carcinogen. People use that quite regularly. Tobacco is a carcinogen. I mean,
it's very strange that, you know, drug addicts are scumbags, you know what I mean? But
well, you know why? Because drug addicts do shitty things when they're in their disease. Tobacco smokers keep to themselves, right?
what about food?
It's a good distinction as to why we have different ways in which we respond to these things.
That's right. So let's go through. I want to stay with the solution if we can.
I know that he's going to try to convince me to not eat sugar, and I'm really scared and frightened right now.
You'll feel a lot better. You'll feel better.
I've tried it like four times.
I go through heroin withdrawal. I get irritable, discontent, so agitated, desperate. I get all that stuff when I go on a carb restriction.
How long have you made it? I made it 5 days.
No, I can do it for a long period of time. The problem is I chip, and it drifts back in again. It's exactly the same as opiates. So to that extent, Dr. Francis, the behavior around it and the withdrawal and everything, I completely agree with you.
Yeah. But let me tell you something. I've actually done this. You know, when I'm in a classroom environment and I have a big blackboard, I'll actually go onto the blackboard and I will say up at the top, you're eating 2 teaspoons of sugar, which of course is a very small amount of sugar. 2 teaspoons of sugar. Here's what happens to your body. And I come down and branch it out and branch it out and branch it out and branch it out. And by the time I'm through, the people in the room don't even want to be in the same room with something that dangerous. Because once you understand what even a small amount of sugar does to your body, it is so frightening, so unbelievably scary.
Take us through that, a layman's version. Because as a layman whose friends, I have two friends that are adamant against sugar. They haven't eaten sugar in over a decade, I think. And their concept of how to explain it to me is it turns to insulin, which then...
No. You're already off.
Okay. How is it destructive immediately, and how does that metabolize and go?
So let's kind of walk through the biochemistry, I'll stop you, Dr. Francis, if I'm not quite getting it. So let's keep going.
Okay. Well, we don't have a blackboard, so I'm going to have to be as simple as possible. Here's what is health? Health is when all of your chemistry is working right and the body is self-repairing and self-regulating.
Doesn't need assistance from antibiotics.
No, it's a little different.
You're in what we call homeostasis. You're self-regulating, you're self-repairing. That's what health is.
Let me get that concept
going. So homeostasis, which I think everyone kind of knows that, but self-repairing, you know, we have DNA repair mechanisms. That's what really prevents cancer. And the cancer research is beginning to zero more and more and more into that. So, and I guess if we're in homeostasis and we are repairing properly, we have less inflammation and all that stuff. So, but, you know, you keep saying there's a biochemistry of sugar branching out. I just think of where the carbon atoms are going, and I don't understand why they get past the Krebs cycle.
We've just established now what health is.
Yeah.
When you eat sugar, you disturb all of your chemistry. You throw vitamin chemistry out of whack. You throw mineral chemistry out of whack. You throw all your hormone chemistry out of whack. In other words, you are no longer in homeostasis. You are no longer self-regulating. You throw your body into biochemical chaos for about 6 to 8 hours. And so if you're eating sugar for breakfast and for lunch and for dinner, you're going to be in biochemical chaos all day, every day. And then you wonder why you get cancer, and you wonder why you get Alzheimer's, and you wonder why you get all these diseases. Well, let me tell you something. You ate the sugar, and that's why you're sick. And sugar ages you. Every time you eat sugar, you become older.
How?
Something to do with, well, with yeah, watch.
Many mechanisms, but one of the mechanisms, of course, is the result of sugar reacting with other molecules in the body, glycating, reacting with protein molecules and others, and you get glycation.
Those molecules change over something else too. Well, they're generated through so you have a sucrose molecule. You break it into fructose and glucose, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what your body does. The glucose, now, both will, I agree with you, throw you into a weird hormonal state with the insulin and all. The insulin spikes, goes up, that your body's metabolism
and
is thrown off.
And isn't insulin part of the aging process?
I think he would say yes.
Insulin drives a lot of very bad chemistry.
Right.
Is there a single key to all this disease? The single key might be insulin.
I agree.
Insulin drives all kinds of bad chemistry.
Yeah, screwing with the insulin homeostasis may be our biggest problem. We don't know for sure, but it may be. The fructose and the sucrose and the glucose are pretty rapidly denatured, broken apart. That ring structure is taken away. We have glycolysis and the Krebs cycle, and then gluconeogenesis, and it's those glucose molecules that end up glycating the proteins. So how does taking the sugar in my mouth end up glycating proteins? There's not a direct line there in my thinking.
There is, and it does happen, and you get glycation. And then those molecules are inflammatory. They cause inflammation. They stiffen tissues. They do all sorts of glycation adds to your aging. It makes tissues less elastic and so you lose elasticity.
Can I just be a layman now? Because we're going to go down a scientific rabbit hole. The people I know that have stopped sugar have had no plastic surgery, nothing, and they're in their early to late 50s.
They may be doing other stuff too, though, right?
They have good genetics.
Are they exercising also?
Yeah.
It's not just one thing. We're talking about one thing.
But it's strange that 38-year-old people having plastic surgery, and I know 58-year-old people that haven't, and they look about the same age. I'm just doing an observation.
Let's stay in the solution.
Because aging is where you're going to get people motivated, Drew.
Dr. France tell me I look like I'm 60.
Dr. France is going to be 80. He sounds quite a bit younger. So let's go. I know you have some vitamin theories, too. Let's get into that a bit, because Rob's going to quiz me on all this.
Everybody needs vitamins. I mean, here's the problem. The diet that we eat simply will not support healthy life. In fact, the National Academy of Sciences did a study a few years back, and their conclusion was that it is no longer possible to get all the nutrition you need, even if you eat a good diet. And they recommended that everyone take at least a multivitamin. And I, you know, you don't know all of my history, but when I was age 48, my death was a medical certainty.
From what?
And I was inches from death.
From what?
And I had to use my own knowledge of biochemistry to save my life and then to restore my health. And in doing so, I knew I needed vitamins. So I started taking vitamins, and they all made me sicker. So I got sicker by taking vitamins. So after I started asking, well, why is something that is supposed to be good for me making me sicker? And then I started to get the answers, and it just blew me away. I very quickly realized that most vitamins don't work. Most vitamins are low quality. Some of them are actually toxic. And so after that, I started formulating my own vitamins. And now I sell the Beyond Health brand, which you can get at beyondhealth.com. And these are some of the highest quality vitamins in the entire world. And there's good reason for that. The molecules that we put into them are biologically correct molecules. They are the molecules that the body actually wants, needs, and uses. Whereas leading brands, they've actually done studies on leading brands of vitamins, long-term studies with a lot of people, and they found there was no benefit in taking them. No benefit. So you're wasting your money. You're more likely
to die a little younger, Bob, if you take a multivitamin every day.
I always forget, so I'll live a long time.
You will actually die a little younger if you take a multivitamin every day.
That's right.
And there's good reason for that. The molecules in those products actually screw up your chemistry. And so unless you're taking a high-quality multivitamin, you're wasting your money, you're making a mistake, you may actually be doing yourself harm. And that's why I founded the Beyond Health Company. That's why we have the Beyond Health Vitamins, because they are superior. And they do miracles. We give them to people, and it's miracle after miracle after miracle. And it's not because I'm a miracle worker. I'm not. It's because what we're doing is giving the molecules that the body actually uses, and it benefits the body.
And so what kind of cancer did you have?
I didn't have cancer. I almost died of liver failure. My liver died.
From, do we know what?
Taking a prescription drug.
Oh, yeah. That can happen for sure.
Well, are you kidding?
Yeah. Well, it happens all the time.
Millions of Americans are taking prescription
drugs.
There's
no medicine you put in your mouth that can't kill you. Tylenol.
If the audience at home could see Dr. Drew just coming at me.
You don't
right
understand
now.
That?
No.
That's why when somebody dies of a medication effect and people are outraged, like any medicine can kill you. There's a risk reward ratio that is weighed out in
Lexapro
every doctor's mind.
Can kill you.
It's very rare, but it can.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Let's ask this question. What is a prescription drug? A prescription drug is a toxic chemical that is specifically designed to poison some part of the body's chemistry in order to suppress a symptom. So you suppress the symptom and you say, hallelujah, my blood pressure's down. Hallelujah, my cholesterol is down. Great. But you're being poisoned.
But
and by the time you're on three drugs, there isn't anybody on this planet who knows what the heck is going on in your body, and you're just poisoning yourself to death.
So how do we find a pathway from where you're coming from and where a lot of my friends in alternative medicine are coming from to mainstream America? Because we do sound a little crazy.
All right.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
This is simple biochemistry 101.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, let's stay. We can, you and I can go
on. Kaiser's
not
going to pay for it.
No, hold on.
You know what I mean?
So let's just stay with what the average person should do from the standpoint of vitamin replacement, given that multivitamins have no, usually available multivitamins have no real effect. But what would you recommend for the average person?
Well, first and foremost, stop eating sugar.
Yeah.
Because sugar screws you up.
I knew he was going to say
that.
Well,
that's sugar and starch and carbohydrates, my friend, as much as
right
possible.
Yeah. And then add, of course, more fresh fruits and vegetables to your diet, and preferably organic fresh fruits and vegetables.
So fruits, now, the nutritionist guy said that smoothies are bad. So are smoothies and juicing good or bad?
Well, they are.
They're just a bunch
My
of...
My head is spinning
look,
around.
Look, you eat your fruit. Eat your fruit.
What happens is when you take a fruit and you juice it, you make the sugar too bioavailable.
Yeah, you eat and your fruit. So, you want the fiber
then
of the fruit.
Then you get poisoned by the sugar. If you eat the fruit, that doesn't happen.
And by the way, I think Dr. France would agree, eat fruit and vegetables, mostly vegetables. Really.
Mostly vegetables. Mostly
they don't
vegetables.
Taste as good as fruit.
Sorry.
you don't want to eat too much fruit. Look at Steve Jobs. You know, Steve Jobs was a vegetarian.
Yeah.
But mostly he ate a lot of fruit.
Yeah.
And the finally got him, he got pancreatic cancer from that.
Yeah.
So you don't want to eat too much fruit. Fruit is very good for you.
He didn't get pancreatic cancer. He had a neuroendocrine tumor, which are the endocrine cells that create the glucagon and the insulin in the pancreas. They're not actually the pancreas cells, and those are easily treatable. And he refused treatment. It's terrible.
I know that's he's part of the left wing. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but so
how do we find a path where the cookie-cut medicine that's being practiced in America, where there's a pill for every problem, get them in, get them out in 5 minutes, and the alternative medicine theories and ideas of disease can come and work together like in the Kaiser commercial.
I don't think they should.
Well, Kaiser's advertising it.
Listen to me. When I needed a surgery on my prostate, I did not want that guy thinking about my nutrition. I wanted him thinking about his procedural technique. His success rate was 100%. He had zero complications. I don't give a shit about anything else. I wanted that guy focused on that procedure. So physicians need to focus on their job. We need like a different discipline, I think, where people focus on health maintenance and things like that.
Well, there's a whole new approach to medicine that is starting to gain traction, and it's called functional medicine.
Yeah.
And what functional medicine is all about, here we go, you know, all of us are made of these little tiny microscopic units of life called cells. Your job is to keep your cells functioning normally. And to do that, you have to give them all of the raw materials they need every day, because they're huge chemical factories. You have to feed them all the raw materials, and that's where your diet comes in, and that's where a good supplement program comes in. And then you've got to keep them free of toxins that can screw up the molecular machinery inside the cell. And today, the average American is a toxic waste dump site.
The other thing is vegetable oils, too. You know, to watch out for vegetable oils. So by the way, I'll remind people, if you go to Weekly Infusion, we did speak to a functional medicine expert. And you can definitely go. I don't have
I just want to run something. It's rare that you have two doctors you can talk to. So are sausage egg McMuffins that taste so good at McDonald's bad for you?
Yes. Yes, relax.
You know the answer to that.
I eat one like four times a week. I'm probably going to die.
Shame on you. Shame on you. You're a bad example.
Okay. I'm going
to
stop.
You're supposed to be giving
a good example
to all the listeners.
I'm going to make a promise to the listeners and everybody in my family and friends. I will not eat another sausage egg McMuffin.
There you go.
That's
and
it.
You know what?
Put that on tape, Nate.
look at me. At age 48, my death was a medical certainty. I was a couple of inches from death. I was so far gone that I was down to a human skeleton, and I was unable to move. I did not have the strength to move. That's how far gone I was. I'm now going to be 80 years old. I function like I'm in my 20s. I have boundless energy. I never get sick. My mind is as sharp as a tack. I'm living like a 20-year-old. My arteries are down to age 22, and I want to have the arteries of a teenager within the next few years. So anybody can do this. Anybody can do this.
That's where I beg to differ. I bet you have Eastern European heritage.
I have Germanic heritage. But anybody, look, if you can go from death to where I am today, anybody can do this. You have to shift the body back into repair mode, because all chronic disease is the result of repair deficits.
So we found
you have
a
to
spot.
Shift the body back into repair mode.
I sort of agree.
I agree with that, and I think we need a new practice. We need a new
discipline.
Whole discipline of medicine.
No.
That's a fact.
Separate
from medicine?
Yeah. Well, I think it needs to be separate.
Well, who's going to say?
Because here's the big part of it.
You really need to take medicine and trash it.
No, because here's the part of it, Bob.
Let me tell you something.
The biggest piece.
The National Academy of Sciences came out with a report several years ago, and they said that allopathic medicine is so far behind the science, there's no way we can bring it up to date. We have to discard it and start over. And that's what we need to do. Get rid of it and start over.
Well, maybe.
And functional medicine is the place to go.
Yeah, functional medicine is picking up traction.
Just for a layman at home. So that is chronic disease treated with lifelong medication. Is that what he's talking about?
No.
No.
It's trying to restore functionality. It's a thing. I'll make you listen to our podcast. We talked
about disease is a loss of functionality. And what you need to do is restore the functionality. That's what it is.
And so just to get clear, no special vitamins that are on average, the average person should be taking.
Milk thistle for the liver.
Oh, well, the milk thistle is not a vitamin, but everybody needs to be on a good multivitamin.
Okay.
I've been told I probably make the best multivitamin on the market.
So multivitamin is everybody a good idea, just not what's available out there. How about minerals?
Most people are deficient in magnesium.
Yeah.
Most people are deficient in zinc. These are two very important things to supplement.
To the brain, those are important.
Repair stuff, too.
But again, you got to be really careful because most of the products on the market don't work.
Yeah, I take a multivitamin every day for the minerals. That's actually why I take the multivitamin I take. I take one with
magnesium and zinc,
yeah, amongst and molybdenum and a couple other things, yeah. But Dr. Francis, we have to go. I really appreciate your conversation with us today. Dr. Raymond Francis, been cited in millions of places. I want to read the different – the latest book is The Great American Health Hoax, correct?
Yes.
We've also got the website, which is RaymondFrancisAuthor.com. You can also watch his presentation. Do you want people to watch the meeting at the Cancer Control Society?
Sure, absolutely.
Right. That is at RaymondFrancisAuthor.com/videos. Let's see. And the first book was Never Be Sick Again, that one?
Never Be Sick Again.
Never Be Sick Again.
A classic. It's now a classic. It's unbelievable how it keeps selling. It's years old now.
I have to read it because my friend Rob Schneider bombs me with texts until I read these books like this. I'm not kidding. So, Dr. Francis, I thank you very much for joining us, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
National Assessment Foundation, it is the first not-for-profit concierge service developed for those suffering with drug and alcohol addiction. They provide you with professionals that you need. They have recovering people and well-trained people doing the assessments, and they refer to high-quality programs, and they follow up to make people sure they get into a program. And even those without coverage, without any resources, they will help them get treatment as well. And it is free of charge. They're a group of dedicated professionals whose goal is to help. They have a good knowledge base. They are connected to thousands of recovery specialists across the country. And most importantly, they are the one for you. The team is built of recovering addicts. As I said, they've been where you've been. They've been there and back many times. And they believe that your treatment should be as unique and as individualized as you. They custom build the plan and the referral. They believe that money should not stand in the way of quality treatment you deserve, and they will advocate on your behalf to ensure you get the best treatment available and be sure your disease doesn't prevent you from getting onto that treatment. And you should not worry about planning the treatment where you stay. You've got enough on your plate dealing with the disease of addiction. They will take care of everything. They will even help with travel arrangements on your behalf. That is the National Assessment Foundation at 888-494-9186. Again, 888-494-9186. We're back. We're with Rob Schneider. We're going to do a couple minutes here real quickly. You have some vitamin stuff you wanted to
tell us
about.
For me,
processed sugar.
Well, I just noticed that, I was feeling really run down and I got to figure this thing out. And my friend Raymond Francis, I just said,
we just talked to him. So
yes, yeah. What do I got to do?
Using his multivitamin or
he gave me, he said, like, he says, give me everything. So he gave me everything.
You know, I asked him.
Wouldn't you be exhausted being so worrisome and OCD as you are, and as always predicting the future, that's a tough job.
Predicting what is going to happen to the
Patricio
world.
Patricio would say I'm the laziest guy.
Maybe you can help me, because I kept asking him what the average person should take for his vitamins, and he said a multivitamin, and that was all he said.
You should be taking a multivitamin and then essential fatty acid.
And minerals,
and vitamin
too.
C.
Minerals.
And curcumin, because curcumin, believe it or not, it could be the answer to all inflammation,
curcumin,
which is everything.
Well, the doctor horrible bowel problems.
But does it really?
I've tried multiple different kinds. But yeah, it's too spicy.
But you know what, though? You might be able
magnesium
to, like...
Magnesium and zinc, he mentioned.
Yeah, magnesium, zinc, and molybdenum.
Every
yeah.
American is definitely... does not get enough magnesium. It's
why? Why is that?
It just is. They're just short of, because certain things draw magnesium out and zinc. And so if
he's
you're
right.
having sugar, then what happens is it just certain things, nutrients, your body trying to deal
with
it.
I had an endocrine fellow when I was a resident who said magnesium is the most important molecule in the body and we're not paying enough attention
to it. So I'm taking away two things here. Trump will be impeached. And I need magnesium. Is that safe to say?
You need to pay attention.
I don't think
a vitamin with minerals.
I don't think Trump will make 4 years as it's going right now. I'm not rooting for him to be impeached. I just think at a certain point,
it would be so disruptive for all of us at this.
It would.
Happens.
I mean,
it would not be good.
I will just say this: if the media has to be careful, and I don't mean like it's a gang of media. I just think that they are so. Out to get him particularly. Yeah. And it's like he's setting himself up.
Yeah.
There's never been a bait that he hasn't grabbed onto. There's no matter how little or trivial. It's like, you know, there's the old...
And yet it's worked out for him.
I know, but I think it's going to run its course.
But now he's governing. It's different running
and
governing.
Let's wrap this up.
Goethe said this.
Oh.
Never let the most... important things be at the mercy of the least. And he is like, never let the most important things get in the way of the piddly shit. And he's got to like change that. Yeah. But what will we replace if we're going to denigrate, delegitimize the presidency, we stand as a government on a three-legged milk stool. Mm-hmm. You take away one of those legs, the table falls. What are we going to replace the executive branch with?
Mike Pence?
What are we going to replace it? If we delegitimize it, then the Republicans are going to do it again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a slippery slope. What are we going to do
like
if we
I
have
said,
no presidency?
I hate both sides. I hate everybody.
Well, look, this is what I think. Whatever it happens with our president right now, I think the people, you know, we should just keep in mind that we have to – we cannot be divided. We are the human race. It's not like we are blacks or Latinos or no. We are the human race, and that's it.
And not only that, yes. It also restores our attention back to our states and our local governments. We really can make a difference, and our states can still have their laws that and our sink. Who knows how that's all going to work out? But it really brings us back to the habit of democracy locally,
is
which
a
is actually crisis important.
Thing. A crisis of democracy is democracy.
Yeah, that's right. How are your kids?
Good.
How's the youngest now?
She's good.
How old is she?
She's almost 5 months old.
Oh, my gosh.
And we have a 4-year-old.
And you're in the middle of production.
And yes.
And your 4-year-old's in the show.
Yes.
Because I was looking at the casting. I'm like, oh, that's accurate.
I know.
She's great.
She's great. She loves it.
This one was going nuts over your 4-year-old. I'm pointing at the First Lady of Love, Susan Pinsky. Follow Rob at Rob Schneider. Also the show at Real Rob. Please. Oh, Real Rob. At Real Rob. And Patricia Maya is your is your Twitter handle?
Yes, my Twitter.
Real Patricia SCH?
Yes, correct.
Real Patricia PRATRICIASCH.
I like to make it easy.
Okay. And Netflix, Real Rob at Real Rob. You will not be disappointed, I promise. Go do that. And also
Netflix.
Reminder about our friends at beyondhealth.com you might want. I'm going to look at what he's got there, Dr. Francis.
Thank you.
I'm your good student, Rob.
Pretty good stuff.
I would talk to him about your curcumin our stuff's a little different.
Yeah.
Because I think it could be some stuff. I mean, that's a good one to get to build up the tolerance. You can't just start at like three pills and just.
All right. Okay.
Does Sport have zinc and magnesium in it?
I would just say this.
I have to see it. Grab it.
There's one that has
I'm big on polyphenols. We're working with an organization called Bergamet NA, and they have a new product, Bergamet Sport. It doesn't say here whether it has. You have to get me the bottle.
Here's what you might be able to do.
Yeah.
I got this thing. If you take the curcumin with coconut oil, it'll calm it down.
Like MCT coconut oil?
Just pure coconut oil. I think
like drink the coconut oil first.
Well, I would.
Then I'll have diarrhea and gas.
But it's gonna smell like coconut.
It's my coconut.
It actually does better with oil if you take it together.
All right.
So I think
natural stacks makes a great curcumin. That's why I got involved with them. And then the that
It didn't work. Yeah, you know, it's a good one if you can find a way to tolerate it. Some things,
but you're, but that is, again, these, there are some, the world of I've said this before when we got behind Bergamot, that the world of supplements is really coming into an age now where there's actually things that you can do with them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that yeah. of, I mean, preventative medicine yeah. is the only place we can grow in medicine. It's 3%. It's all after onset of yeah. disease is all our medicine now. We have to change that.
All right. See you next time.
I've been traveling.